Welcome to Pursuing Justice. I'm your host, Harriet Hendel. We're taking a little side road today by not talking about legal issues, but discussing the importance of books inside our prisons. When I volunteered to teach way back in the early 2000s at Greenhaven Correctional Facility in Dutchess County, New York, upstate, I sometimes took my students to the prison library. The books were very old and in really bad shape. They were poorly organized, not a good motivation to read. Today, our guest is Dr. Tom Haney, who is going to tell us about his involvement with an organization called Books Through Bars, a nonprofit organization in Philadelphia. I want to tell my listeners about Tom. He's got a divinity degree. He served 30 years in law enforcement and criminal justice. He was one of the first paramedics in Pennsylvania, and he specializes in counseling people with violent, repetitive, compulsive disorders. He's been active with Books Through Bars for 12 years, and he's president of the nonprofit. It's great to have you as my guest, Tom. Welcome.
Harriet, thank you. Thank you for that introduction. It's a pleasure being here. I'm kind of excited about doing this too. So again, thank you for asking me to be on your podcast.
You're very, very welcome. I'm always happy to have someone who talks about books because I'm a big reader, always have been. So let's talk about the founder of your organization, Barbara Herskowitz. She created the group in 1992 and sadly lost her battle with pancreatic cancer back in 2007 at age 57. During her life, she was known as an activist, a Buddhist, and an anarchist. She got books donated from big publishers, raised money for postage, believing that books were essential for those doing time. Can you add anything else about Barbara to our listeners?
I don't know if I can add much more other than the fact that she was a go-getter.
What does that mean?
She had that energy, and she just, you know, she went out and she went after things. She got people to do things. One of those people who just don't know where they get all that energy from.
Right. That's great.
You know, I mean, along with gathering the people around her, she did a lot to get Books Through Bars here in Philadelphia on its feet and make it the program that it is today. I want to say this. It's a shame that she was taken away too early. I would have liked Barbara. I would have enjoyed working with her.
You never met her, Tom?
I never met her. I must have came in that period where she wasn't doing so well and all that. Interestingly enough, though, I was born in 1950 also, so we would have been the same age.
How do you like that? That's interesting.
And in the 1990s, I also studied and became a Buddhist.
How amazing. You're like your soulmates, right?
Yeah, just about. But everything that I heard about her was pretty fantastic, and she gathered around her some other fantastic people that did just as much for Books Through Bars as she did. They had a nationwide conference here in Philadelphia that her team helped put together. So it was pretty good. The thing that I wanted to bring up here also, though, is that actually Books Through Bars started in the late 80s. Mm-hmm. The year is a little iffy, so 87, 88, somewhere in there, by a gentleman by the name of Todd Patterson.
Oh.
He was working at New Society Publishing also, and he was the one that saw these letters and started sending books in. Now, New Society Publishing, besides being a Quaker publisher, was also better known for its anarchist books. So when they started getting these letters for all sorts of reading material, the publishing company didn't have it.
Now, when you say getting letters from people in prison requesting titles or books.
Requesting books,
I see,
So he's the first one that put a little group together.
Okay, I see.
Now, here's where it gets a little strange. And he's the first, they're the first one that called it Books Through Bars. Here's where it gets a little strange. About 2 years into this, so 89, 90, from everything that I read, almost everybody from this little group left Philadelphia. So Barbara now is working for the publishing company. And apparently here's where she picked up the mantle. She gathered more people around her. It was through her and the folks that she gathered around here. They finally got us our 501c3 designation as a nonprofit organization. It still is today. Nobody at the organization gets paid. And most of these early years, most of the work was done out of their houses, and most of the money they used was out of their own pockets. And then it was somewhere along the line there where it moved in with a longtime anarchist group at 4722 Baltimore Avenue that was known as the A Space. And that's when BTB started sharing the first and basement floors of that particular building. And from there, it has gone on to what you know it today.
What an interesting history. What's your own philosophy about books and prisons?
Education. Literacy, or rather illiteracy, is one of the major problems of folks who are incarcerated for all sorts of different reasons, and I don't know if we have the time to get into it here. There are a lot of people who cannot or can only poorly read and write, but once somebody gets on the inside and they get taken out of the insanity of whatever they were living in out on the street and they settled down, they realize that they don't necessarily want to continue the life they did, so they want to educate themselves. Books in prison is a major way of educating yourself.
True, true.
Now, as you started, as you pointed out earlier, prison libraries are really not all that good. Again, for several different reasons. But some of the major reasons, first of all, is the overcrowding. The other thing is I equate prisons with schools in that when they need money elsewhere, they take it away from their ancillary programs. Well, in prisons, prison libraries and the educational department are an ancillary program. And for years, money has been being cut from these programs. So education has become harder and the libraries have become not as well funded, so they don't have the books that they need. So the books they do have are used again and again and again and eventually wear out.
Sure. Yeah. So maybe the word you're looking for is depleted.
Yeah, that too. Well, I'll tell you what, but Harriet, that's not necessarily the case, and I'll tell you why.
Okay.
Books Through Bars, we send the books directly to inmates. We don't send books to prisons or the prison libraries. We feel that it's the government, it's the prison responsibility to maintain these facilities. So in this case, both the education system and the library.
I see.
What's happened, though, our books are sent in for free and the inmates do not have to return our books. They don't have to send. They're theirs to keep.
Oh, do they then put them in the library when they're finished?
Yes. Yes.
And that improves the library, right?
That improves the library. Jokingly, but very honestly, we and the other organizations like BTB around the country, we are now the major supplier of prison libraries.
Are you really? That's impressive.
I mean, it wasn't on purpose, but when the inmates are done with their books, they pass them around to other inmates, and eventually it makes their way into, including textbooks and school books that we send in. They might get for a particular class that they're taking that they can still take, and then they donate it to the school for the next group coming in.
Sure. Oh, that's wonderful. Do you ever get to visit any prison libraries in the state of Pennsylvania?
Not since I've been working with Books Through Bars. Books Through Bars does not go into the prison.
Oh.
So through my career, I've been into prisons. Mm-hmm. And I've got into the schools and the prison libraries as a matter of course for whatever reason I had to do in the prisons. I think I just said this. I compare prisons to public schools because the money is being cut from the education system. When we send the books in, we send them USPS. And like I said, it goes directly to the prisons.
Prisoner.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. Very true. One of the other questions you had here had to do also with what kind of books we get. We have a very nice donation base because we've been around now for 31, 32 years, both for monies, which we can always use a little bit more, folks, And we have a pretty good donation base for books, but we're also always looking for books to be donated. Mm-hmm. For instance, we get requests for all kinds of books. We get requests just for general reading, because this is one of the ways that folks on the inside, when they want to get away from the insanity of the prison, they can go back to their cells. Well, cells anymore are not single cells anymore. For them, there are a lot of cells. There are more than one person in a cell, sometimes not just two, but maybe even three or four through bunk beds. And a lot of prisons, when they're building new prisons, they're dormitories.
Right.
So books are a way to get back into that setting and get caught up into the characters in the book and the things going on in the book, and help get your mind away from everything else that's going on around you. We also got a very nice donation not too long ago from a publishing company that sent us all kinds of dictionaries.
Oh, dictionaries are very popular. I remember that.
The dictionaries are the number one requested book.
Yeah, isn't that funny? I saw that at Greenhaven, and boy, I found some along the way and would bring them in, and they were scrambling for them.
Dictionaries, by the way, are one of the few books that we buy.
Oh, do you?
Because we get so many requests for them. And unfortunately, even in today with many people may not necessarily have dictionaries sitting around in their home right now because of the internet. What happens is when you get a dictionary, you end up keeping it on your shelf and it might be sitting there for years. So now when folks finally decide they want to donate the dictionary, it's old, it's dusty, it's yellow, and may even be outdated.
That's true. Well, that's true.
And a lot of them are hardcover. And so we end up not being able to use them. So we buy new dictionaries. But this publishing company send us books in Japanese. They send us dictionaries in Chinese and Korea, in Hebrew.
Spanish. And
Spanish is, again, Spanish dictionaries, Spanish language dictionaries, sure. English, Spanish dictionaries are always another book and another dictionary that we buy.
Yeah. Now, you just referred to something that I want to make very clear to listeners. You do not accept any hardcover books. Why is that?
For our purposes here, I'm going to say we do not.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? We don't, because so many prisons anymore also do not take hardcover books.
And what's the reason for that?
Mostly it's contraband.
Okay.
Way back in the day of LSD, you could peel back that initial layer on the hardcover and put some drugs in there.
And seal it back up.
Seal it back up. But also folks, they found a way of concealing items that could be used as weapons in the books, especially down the spine of the book and stuff like that.
So
also the cover itself can be used as a very formidable weapon.
The cover? A hard cover?
Oh yeah, a hard cover. Think about it. You throw that at somebody and you catch them the right way, or hold it in your hand and you want to attack a guard, you hit them across the neck.
I guess.
They're incapacitated. Now, I'm not justifying this. I'm just saying these are some of the reasons.
Right.
These are the rules we have and we have to live with.
Right. You absolutely do. Let's go back to the popularity of dictionaries, but my question would be, what books are at the top of people's wish list? There must be some big favorites.
Well, there are. And again, another good way to answer that is people who are incarcerated like the same books that we do here out on the street.
True.
So they like the popular authors. I think another question you have in there have I seen a change over the years? I haven't necessarily seen any changes other than the fact that the authors have changed and the popular authors have changed.
Hmm.
So the older folks that are incarcerated, they still want books from that they remember when they were younger and the authors were popular back then. But Stephen King, Patterson, all those that are still popular today, the thriller writers, the mystery writers, the romance writers.
Wow.
That are very popular. Daniel Steele, I believe.
Oh,
is a big
my goodness. The men like Daniel
Steele. Absolutely. We get a lot of requests for romance novels.
Do you really?
From the men.
I bet. And you also left out a very important name, John Grisham.
Oh, John Grisham. Absolutely.
Oh, he must be very popular.
Very popular. Yeah. And the problem is they're so popular and they're popular on the outside. These are some of the books we don't get enough donations with. Now, we get donations of other thrillers, of other horror books. So when people are going around their library and trying to pick the books that somebody is asking for, we tell them, do the best job you can, because we may not have John Grisham on that particular day.
Right. Now, when you say horror, I that's not a genre that I'm particularly enamored of, but who would that be?
Stephen King.
He's the king of king of horror.
Shining.
Besides the, well, I guess you could say true crime, horror, romance, are there any other unusual requests that, you know, surprise you sometimes?
Well, we do. And actually, I have a couple. We do get a fair amount of unusual requests. We get requests for just about anything.
Do you?
So I don't remember some of the really unusual requests because a lot of times lately I haven't been handling that end of it. So my colleagues handle some of that. But I do have one that might be very interested to you. Several years ago, I was on a panel at one of the churches here who was going to try to get a pen pal service started for prisoners. And one of the men on that particular panel was a gentleman by the name of Tamarin Hicks. Tamarin Hicks spent a lot of years incarcerated and was released through the Innocence Project.
Oh, probably the one in New York, the biggie.
I don't know. He was here in Pennsylvania, so I don't know where.
Well, Pennsylvania has their own. So
has their
likely
own.
It was there.
So he got released, eventually got released. He was sitting on the panel with us. And while I was talking about how and what we send books in to inmates, he said, you know, Tom, when I was incarcerated, I asked for a very specific Bible.
Bible.
I don't remember what Bible it was. A Bible. He had asked, and it was very specific. It was not one of the mainstream Christian Bibles that we would normally send in. Now, a lot of times when we have requests by that and our team thinks that this is worthwhile, we will go out and look for that book and buy it and send it into the person.
That's
and
wonderful.
He said, you know, you sent me that Bible.
Wow.
So that was pretty cool.
They really appreciate something like that.
Yeah. I mean,
it's so individual that you took the time to look for something that wasn't mainstream and send it
right.
to him. And I bet he really appreciated that.
He did. And he said that. He said he couldn't believe that he got the Bible he was asking for. More recently, something strange happened. It goes back now perhaps about 6 months and really only lasted maybe 3 months. We get a lot of requests for graphic novels, comics and graphic novels.
They've become popular, haven't they?
They become very popular. And I think mainly because they have pictures to them. So remember I talked about poor education and illiteracy for people incarcerated? The pictures help a lot. Well, 6 months ago, we started getting requests for graphic novels, and they said, please send me DC, the particular graphic novel published by DC. Do not send me Marvel.
Oh, and that's very popular, Marvel.
And that's very popular. Or the next letter we would open up and said, listen, please send me only Marvel. I don't want DC.
So you have to pay attention, right?
You got to pay attention. And when we ask people to request books, we ask them not to be very specific because, again, all the books are donated and we never know what's on the shelf. So we try to send them something, but it unfortunately may not necessarily be the book that they're asking. So as quickly as this started, it also ended. I haven't seen any for the past couple of months. I haven't seen that again.
Oh, that's interesting. Well, we are almost out of time for this first interview, but you have said you're willing to come back and talk some more about Books Through Bars, and I have more questions to ask you. So a final question, is it difficult to get good books donated?
I'm going to try to be very quick with this.
Okay.
The answer is one of those where it has to be a yes and no answer. It is not difficult to get books donated. Unfortunately, sometimes the books we get donated are from people who want to get rid of their books that have been sitting on the shelves for a very long time. They're now downsizing. They're moving to a smaller place. Sometimes we get donations from people whose mother or father has passed away and they're cleaning out their parents' library. Every once in a while, and we had to stop this actually, every once in a while we would get donations from colleges, because from professors who have retired, and the college would go in and clean out his office, and they would send us everything, including the dust in the drawers.
Dust is free. No charge.
The problem with that is a lot of times then they will send us books we can't use. First of all, especially from mom and dad who enjoyed reading and joined, was a subscriber to one of those Books of the Month Club. Most of those books were hardcover.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
And the other thing is they just, a lot of books, a lot of college people that have gone to college and want to get, now 30 years later, want to get rid of their college books and stuff like that, they're also outdated.
They're out of date, yeah.
And then we get sent a lot that are just old, dusty, dirty, and falling apart, which we can't use. Because folks, keep this in mind, if you're donating any books to any of the Books to Prisoners organization, no matter what state you're in, folks on the inside don't want old dusty books, and many prisons won't take them. They want gently used and or even new books. A lot of people enjoy sitting down and being the first to read that particular book. You know, when you open it up and the spine cracks.
Yeah, that's nice.
And stuff like that. So we still have a very good donation base. And we do get a lot of books we can use, but every once in a while we get those that we just can't use. And we get books donated that we just won't use. We have books that we won't accept. We know the prisons won't take these, but as a general rule, even us, we don't send pornography.
Yeah, very important to know. Okay.
We also don't send hate books of any kind.
Good.
And we do get requests for instance, we get requests for Mein Kampf. We don't carry Mein Kampf. We don't send that in.
Good.
So there are, although we don't try to be the censor for the prisons, there are some books that we feel just are not appropriate to send
But
in.
Those two categories, I want to repeat those for my listeners, no pornography and no hate books. And no hardcovers, of course, we've already said that. Well, this was great, Tom, to have you on. I certainly hope that as a result of the two segments we're doing, that people will take notice and look up your website and donate money or books. That's the reason I had you on today, to enlighten people about this. I'm sure people don't know.
And that's very true. But let me point this out too, because I'm sure you have people listening, and hopefully you have people listening from across the country and in Canada.
We do.
Maybe even around the world. Almost every state has a Books to Prisoners organization like ours. So if you're in one of those states, for instance, we only serve the Mid-Atlantic states. So if you're in Texas, if you're in California, if you're out west in Washington or Florida or something like that, please look up their address. They would be equally anxious to get donations.
Good suggestion. Our producer is from Canada, so there you are.
There are Books to Prisoner programs in Canada.
I'm sure there are. All right, well, we're going to close up and say thanks for listening to Tom Haney today. And thank you to the Innocence Project of Florida for sponsoring my podcast, and to Jordan Moore at the Pod Cabin for doing a wonderful job producing this show. We'll see you next time on Pursuing Justice.